unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness has he openly shown. In the sight of the heathen, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. He has remembered his mercy and his truth to all the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
Amen.
I know that he has remembered his mercy and his truth to all the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Oh, sing unto the Lord
a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
Later on, and it's simply called Believing the Impossible. Believing the Impossible. I want to open up with nothing new, but we do need to remind ourselves of these things. Salvation, God, the belief in God, the promises of God, God's ways, everything about this whole walk, from our standpoint, from our view, is impossible. And God has made no mistake with regard to that. To believe in God, to embrace the promises of God, to be committed to God, to be a disciple of the Lord, is impossible. And God has purposed in man's flesh and man's intellect that it is impossible. So it's actually no shock. It's not really actually a revelation. And we know it because we know that's how the world is living and walking and acting. The world is still in the first Adam, who failed God's standard. But it is possible to those who are a new creation in Christ.
Hallelujah, praise God.
Therefore, it is possible. And that is the difference. And we can choose to believe, whether we believe in the impossible or the possible. We have a choice. And to say, you know, this is impossible, you know, it's difficult to believe in everything. Well, it is. There's nothing new about that. God has purposed it to be. That is why he said, narrow is the way and few there be that find it. Because it costs to believe. And you say to me, well, what is the cost? Your life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The cost is that you present yourself on that living altar as a living sacrifice. So that altar, God's altar, is alive, it's well, and it's got saints who've given their lives and presented it upon that altar. Mm. It's not dead, it's alive. Mm. And God is accepting those sacrifices. And what is a sacrifice? It is our heart. Amen. My heart belongs to you. It is yours. It isn't mine anymore. You paid the greatest price, the greatest gift ever given in the world to man. And I can only give back to you my heart. And that's all the Lord ever wants. That's what he died for. That's what he wants. That was worth going to the cross, that you can give back your heart to him on the altar. Profound, isn't it? You know, even that's a sermon in itself. And yet, I'm so struck by this as we're here today, just in his presence, gathering together. You know, that's what he wanted. That's what pleases him more than anything else. Yeah. And yet, don't we at times still even struggle with that? And yet his grace, his mercy, he comes baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, empowering us to help us in those very weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And we meet them, and they're there. And probably some of you have battled it this week. I know I have. And yet here we are, by the grace and mercy of God. He's believing the impossible, because he's making it possible. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 26. Matthew 19 and verse 26. And here it's in the context where God says, with God all things are possible. And he says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. And that very statement sorts out those who believe and those who don't. God knows how to single it out. And very often he challenged the multitudes with the impossible, because he knew that that is where disciples are called. Amen. That is where God's sheep hear his voice and follow him. Amen. And that's why we don't think it's strange, particularly in FGA, because we're used to that one. We see it every time we open the room up, don't we? And we open the room, and there the faithful saints come in, and then we see a few come in, don't they? And do they stay? Do they last? Mm-hmm. Most of them don't. Some of them just stay in for a brief time. Some of them, a few, might stay through the whole of the meeting. What a blessing. Gosh, there is a room that's preaching the word. How often have we heard that one? Mm-hmm. When's your next meeting? Do we see them come back? Yeah. Not always. Not always. And you know, that makes me just, what have I done to deserve this? Because I would be one of them, without doubt. And yet here we are, because God is showing us to believe the impossible. What does Jeremiah tell us? Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 7. Hang on, I got it wrong. I'm sorry about this. That's not what I wanted. No, I'm so sorry about this.
Verse 17.
Let me look. Well, yes, it is. It is. Thank you for that, because it leads into it. He says, "Ah, the Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth, and by your great power and outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for you." Thank you, Alan. Nothing too hard for you. And that is it. We can believe the impossible because God makes it possible. He wouldn't challenge us to believe what outwardly appears impossible if it was not possible. So turn it around in your thinking and your mind. There's nothing profound, there's nothing spiritual when we say, well, it's impossible. There's nothing new about that. But God has made it possible through Jesus Christ. And that is what he's teaching us. And that is why we teach the deeper life. That is why it is by faith that we walk, for that very principle that he's making what outwardly looks impossible to be possible. And that is why these promises are to be inherited. Not when we're in heaven, but in this life. It is for that very purpose. It is possible over your rebellious family, over your son, your daughter. Their salvation is secure. Your mother, your father. I want to raise a question. You believing for your family, does the circumstances look impossible?
Yes.
It looks as though it's completely far gone. It's actually got worse. Is that your situation? Is that what you see? I've got good news for you. It's possible. They are the very conditions that God is getting you to believe, even with that mustard seed of faith that moves mountains.
Amen, amen.
In fact, I'm going to say to you, if it's looking worse, that is a good sign, brothers and sisters. If your life or your trial that you're going through is getting worse, that is a good sign. If it looks as though it's past the sell date, it's a good sign. It's a good sign.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
If it's getting worse, it's a good sign. The world out there, the news and everything, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And yet these false prophets in all our governments and everything, oh, tell them what a better future it's going to be and everything. It's a pack of lies. They're in denial. No, because God has ordained it that way. Don't think that we will ever understand this.
Glory to God.
Unless we too are challenged by the impossibility of entering the kingdom. I don't know how we're going to enter into the kingdom. But I know that we are, and I know that we're already seated there in heavenly places. And very often our circumstances are completely contrary. Every step of faith I take always looks an absolute failure. My Christian life and walk looks a failure. What report are we believing? Are we in FGA going to make this same mistake that the children of Israel made and they perished in the wilderness? Or are we going to believe Joshua and Caleb? Are we of that spirit?
Amen.
We are well able to take the giants of the land, which include the giants in my life.
Amen.
And they are there. And boy, don't they challenge. And they're very vocal. Are the giants vocal in your life? They are with me. Really trying to capture my mind and make my mind a prisoner. But praise God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for these meetings where our minds are constantly renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. No, we're still believing the impossible, that's what we're dealing with today. You see, it isn't achievable unless God has mercy on us. And we're here today because he has mercy on us. You say to me, well, I'm not sure whether he's got mercy on me or whatever. Well, are you still listening? Are you still coming? Are you still calling on his name? Are you still talking to him, praying and everything? Well, there's the mercy of God. It's not rocket science. Oh, I've committed the unpardonable sin. Oh, I've taken one step too far. It's impossible this time. Oh, come on, dust yourself down and get up. If you fall off the horse, the first thing they say is get back on it. Amen. And that's what we do. Saints, we need to move on. Amen. The enemy is a master at bringing up the past. He is a master at it. He has been working at that since man fell.
Amen.
And he will remind you of the past. He will remind you of what you did. You committed the unpardonable sin, this and that and everything. No, 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 no. We have to live today, amen, now, with God. His presence is for the now, this moment. Enjoy him. Be blessed by him. Because he is by you. Because you've offered your heart upon that altar. You have given him the best gift you can give him. When you offer yourself on that altar and give him your heart, it says to him, it was worth the sacrifice he paid for you and I. Or if I can't give him that, then what's the point? What's the point? Hallelujah. He has made it achievable for you and I. And that's why we can step out in faith.
Amen.
Your faith will not let you down. God will not let you down. The reason that you are hesitant, the reason you don't step out in faith, because you're still not sure of the love of God. That love that will not separate us. That's all it is. And that's why he's bringing us to the Father.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
That we are assured by the Father's love and grace and mercy. How much he loves us, we'll never know. But we'll have eternity to experience more and more and more of it. And even in this life. Hallelujah. And yet Jesus says we can believe the impossible. Because he says with God all things are possible. And our very circumstances, the things that we face, which is impossible in the natural, throws us on to the possibility of God. That is why you don't count it strange, odd, what you go through. Because that is the very means of throwing you onto the Lord to believe. And we, each of us, are all going through different circumstances, different trials, different situations. But praise God, what we have in common is that the end result is the same for all of us.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's why we're in unity and fellowship and oneness. But we're all on a different journey. And that's the remarkable thing about it. Because God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so he's able to do that work in our lives. And so, he begins to work with our hearts. And because he's working with our hearts, he has made it possible for us to believe him. He knows we won't believe if it's not in the heart. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want religious people. I'm sorry, but religious people are in denial with what's really in their hearts. And that's the problem. And that's where the enemy uses it. Yeah. He's got them to believe a lie.
Yeah.
But you see, God's brought us to the end of ourselves and said, I can't do this because it's not in my heart. I can't do it. It's not in my heart. I'm going to be a hypocrite. I'm just giving lip service. And it's almost like then the Lord says, praise, praise God, I brought you to that place because that's what I wanted you to see. It was not in your heart. Now we'll get it into your heart.
Praise God.
Amen.
We'll drop it that 18 inches. And you know what? He does it. I don't know how, but he does it. And suddenly I find, oh, praise God, I'm not having to fight anymore. I'm not having to work at this anymore. The affection is there. It's naturally flowing. And that is what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just giving that lip service, which we once did. I know I did, back in the denominations. And it takes the mercy and grace of God to open our eyes and ears and heart. And it's the same with the walk of faith. He's removing those hindrances to our faith so that our believing is there. I'm not having to work at believing, which we've done at times. And praise God, he hasn't given up on us. He's been there, helping us, showing us. And one day, when you find in a situation, or you find there's a trial, or there's just that step of faith that's required, and they're there, don't ask me how it works, it just is there, you just do it. And you look back and you think, that was a miracle that just happened there.
Yeah.
That was a step of faith. I couldn't have done that 2 years ago. But look, it's happened.
Yeah.
Like naturally breathing. That is how we're to walk with God. Jesus didn't think when he was facing situations or there was healings or casting out of demons or whatever it is. Well, do you think this is going to happen today? Do you think it's going to work today or not? He didn't think like that. He didn't act like that. He knew nothing could separate him from his Father.
Amen.
He knew what his calling was, and he was to fulfill his ministry. And that is the same with you and me. And all our ministries are diverse in whatever way they are. But you have been predestined before the foundation of the earth to fulfill your ministry. And if you are not fulfilling your ministry, there is something wrong.
Yeah.
And you can go right back, and it's your relationship with God.
Amen.
It's not rocket science. We each of us have been given ministries, and we are to fulfill it. Why am I stressing that? Because that's part of you experiencing your faith walk. We're all sitting back waiting for it to happen. But God has given us a commission. He has given us a calling. And if you love the Lord, you're not going to question it. You're not going to look what it looks like, or the experiences I had in the past, or whatever. You are going to fulfill it for God's glory. And you are going to walk it by faith. Because part of your experiencing the impossible with God is connected with your calling and your ministry. It is. And that's why some of us are down, depressed. And it's not working. It's not working because I'm not fulfilling what God has called me to do. Jesus fulfilled his calling. Mm. Thank God that he did. Because if he didn't, we wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
And it is the same in these last days with the church. If FGA is to move forward with what God has for us, we have to fulfill what he has given us. And boy, hasn't he given us a lot in this assembly. And isn't he expecting returns? Is he not?
Yes.
Mm. He really is. You say to me, well, my situation, everything, it's impossible. Of course it is. There'd be something wrong if it isn't impossible. What is new? That's why when you take that first step, then the Lord is there. Mm. And he opens up and you're beginning to walk supernaturally.
Right.
And you just know this cannot happen in the natural. And some of you, bless your hearts, you need that touch in your lives. You're desperate for the supernatural. It's become a drudge. It's become a burden. Mm. And God is saying, enough. Come on. Jesus. Rise up. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. I am with you.
Mm.
Of course it's impossible. I've made it impossible for you to be able to take that step of faith so that I can show my power in weakness. That's how he does it. No, there's nothing new about that. I've been preaching it ever since God called me to the pulpit.
Yeah.
But we need to remind ourselves of this. Jesus has made it possible for you and me to believe. And he challenges us to believe him. That's why it's the cross. That's why it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. He's challenged us in those areas. You see, our circumstances, they always throw us onto this, don't they? This is why he makes us desperate. And he's going to make you desperate if you want to continue in this walk. He's going to have a way of making you and I desperate. How do we know? Romans 11, 12 tells us. Matthew 11 and verse 12 tells us. Matthew 11 You know it well. And from that day, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Amen.
So there we are. John the Baptist ushering in, preparing for the new covenant. He's part of the old covenant. He is a great prophet, the greatest prophet, because he's a prophet of transition, of changeover. And now no longer under the old covenant, but there is a new covenant coming.
Amen.
There is one who's now going to fulfill and satisfy the demands of the law. God's anger is about to be appeased. Mm. Mercy and grace is going to prevail.
Yes.
And so now, as a result of that, we now press in. Why are we going to press in? Because the kingdom was going to be put to one side. Israel is rejecting Messiah, his kingdom. And so he's now saying, right, as a result, the violent are going to have to take this. You're now going to have to press in, and Israel will have to press in.
Amen.
Until God has mercy on her. And so he sees that there are people out there in the highways and the byways, because Israel rejected their Messiah. He sees there's a people out there, they'll follow the Lord. They're desperate.
Yes, Jesus.
They know their poverty. They know they're impoverished spiritually.
Yeah.
And you watch. They'll be desperate. They'll take it by force if need be. That is the spirit he is looking for. That it must be the spirit of the bride who makes herself ready. That is the overcomers. We become a little bit restful. We're resting too much on our laurels. We mustn't fall asleep like the unwise virgins. And it's so easy. We can feel it. How the enemy tries to work. How we start feeling sorry for ourselves. It's been a hard year and so on. And oh, you name it. We can conjure up all the excuses. Boy, we really can. We cannot afford any of this.
No.
No way. No way. We have to press in and take this. Because the enemy is a thief. He's a robber. He's a liar.
Mm.
And he doesn't want God's kingdom on this earth. Because that is his judgment.
Yeah.
But the kingdoms are coming into conflict. And we are seeing it is drawing near.
Mm.
And Messiah is to come to bring his kingdom upon the earth.
Amen.
And we are part of that. Yes. And we are part of that battle, that Thank conflict.
Yes.
And we see it happening now in the heavenlies. And that is why he has given us that authority
Amen.
In warfare to bind Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
And to loosen the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That is so important for us now in these last days, because so many of our brothers and sisters are asleep to this. They don't see this. And where do we believe this? In the heart. That's where it comes. That is where the issues of life flow from.
Amen.
It's our confession. It's our belief. Let's look at some scriptures. Acts 14. And verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength, without strength in his feet, was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, and had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, and said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and he walked.
Amen.
And when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Notice how heathen they are. Notice how they're so far away, removed from God, that they thought the gods had come down. And of course, we know that he has to correct all of this and show that it's the true and living God. Here, again, was an impossible situation. This man was a cripple from birth, knew nothing else. God had created what was impossible to become possible. That is how he works. This idea of this word is an interesting word, impossible, that we're looking at in Matthew 19, because it actually means powerless. It means disabled. weak. That's actually what it means. Do we not feel those emotions with the impossible? We feel it's powerless. We feel disabled. We feel totally weak, incapable. That's the word. That's what it means. Impossible. So those very emotions that go with it are there for God to show that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And of course we know very, very well in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we read this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." There's that word again, impossible. So if there isn't faith, it means you are powerless. You're disabled. You are utterly weak. And that is why we receive, brothers and sisters, the deeper life teaching and the walk of total faith. And God is restoring us to a walk of total faith because that is our power.
Amen.
That is what releases us from this experience and feeling of powerlessness. Where we're disabled, we're weak, we're ineffectual. It does completely the opposite. It empowers us. We've got people today and groups, liberations and New Age, where they're all talking about to be empowered. You need to be empowered these days. Have you heard it?
Yeah.
It's one of the in things, isn't it? Yeah. The devil's lie.
Mm-hmm.
I wish to God saints in the house of God could see their need for that. And where does our power come to believe? It comes from the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, reading it. This is empowering you and I, brothers and sisters, to believe. Isn't that wonderful? In this age of unbelief. That is what God is doing. And so you see, he isn't going to just let us off the hook. We're going to have to speak and change our confession. What comes out of our mouth? Because we know what comes out of our mouth tells us where we are in the faith. Tells me. But you know, if you walk close with God, you can take that back. You can get that under the blood of Jesus. Lord, I heard what came out of my mouth, and I'm sorry. That is so contrary to your word. Lord, help me. Have mercy over me. I want that changed. And he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Because it's that believing in the heart. But our confession, our affections will tell us where we are. It'll tell us what's happening. What you say, how you are, walking each day, tells us where you are in the Lord. It does. And sometimes I have to bow my head in abhorrence and say, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
I have anything but walked in the steps of Jesus today. Have mercy. Help me.
Yeah.
But you know what? When I hear that, and when I confess that before God, that gives me such hope. Because God brought that to my attention. I would have been quite happy just carrying on in my own sweet way. But he brought that to my attention. He's actually given me the gift to repent.
Amen. Yeah.
And turn away. And I have no words for that at times, other than just to praise him and glorify his name.
Mm.
I really, really do. I really do. So, believing the impossible, what a privilege. Is your circumstances impossible? Your believing for things impossible? I've got good news for you. God's made it like that for the very purpose to make it possible. I don't know how he's going to do it. We try and work out in our minds, you know, well, probably he's going to do it this way, or he's got to do it that way, or I can't see any change at all. If anything, it's got worse. Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. We aren't to analyse, to work out the supernatural. That isn't our job. Our job is just to believe for it. Where we go wrong is we try and analyse it. We try and work it out.
Yeah.
We try and put a date to it or whatever. You know how the mind works. Works overtime. How did God do that? I want to try and understand that miracle. I'm going to try and work it out. You can't. You can't. Don't do it. I don't believe we are to touch that. Jesus never worked out how his Father did the miracles. He just moved as the Spirit led in which a miracle was to be created.
Yeah.
And we see how Jesus did. I mean, who would ever think that God would use the dust of the earth to put on man's eyes and go and wash and he will see?
With spit.
And with spit. I mean, how, you know, the first thing we would think, well, if you're going to spit in somebody's eyes, they're going to be suffering with conjunctivitis. That's how our minds think. I mean, you could just go on and on and on with this. Some of the ways the miracles were performed were bizarre in the natural. But Jesus never thought it strange. That's how the Father desired to be glorified.
All the glory goes to him.
Because all the glory goes to him.
Amen.
You will never fathom it out, ever.
Praise the Lord.
And so we need to put all of that to one side and start moving with God. Now, saints, is the time to rise up and start to move with your Heavenly Father. And stop resisting him. Stop questioning him.
Praise you, Jesus.
Now is the day. Believing the impossible.
Amen.
Now is the day.
Hallelujah.
Maybe that's the title I should call this. Now is the day. Believing the impossible. Have you got that, Paul? Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father,
thank you, Lord.
We love you so much. Oh, Lord, it's just such a privilege, such a blessing, such a joy just to be in your presence and just let you speak to our hearts,
Lord,
our circumstances.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you know where we are.
Bless you, Jesus.
You know, Lord, how the enemy buffets. He gives us a hard time. But sometimes it's our own fault also. Because we allow him to do it. Because we're believing too much what he says. But Lord, you've said to rise up and to move with you. And we know that you will never forsake us nor leave us because you have promised. Forgive us, Father, that we doubt you at times. Forgive us, Lord, that we want these questions, these answers, and so forth. And you would have thought we'd have learnt after all these years. But, Lord, we know this walk is a lifetime. And it is your grace and your mercy. And, Father, you have made it impossible. You've told us. And you're showing us that if it is impossible, then that means we're on the right track.
Yes, sir.
We're on the right road.
Praise
we're walking right with you. And Lord, we thank you for this.
Yes.
We praise you.
Yes.
And so, Lord, be with us through this coming week. Father, help us to walk in that unbroken fellowship 24/7 with you.
Mm.
Being led by the Spirit.
Jesus.
Lord, we're sick of the flesh. We're sick of the mind and the unbelief and questioning. Enough.
Mm.
Time to rise up and to walk with you.
Jesus.
And to fulfill those ministries that you have given us, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you. Help us, Lord. This isn't about emotions or feelings. We may be quickened today, and praise God we are, because that's your presence. But Lord, we still continue to walk by faith, the way of the cross. None of it changes. So Lord, I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters. Always bless, preserve and keep them when they go out and when they come in. And Lord, my prayer, my confession for them is, grant each one of them to walk in the Spirit, in that unbroken fellowship, 24/7. I pray this for them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen
and amen.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Is mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. With joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty.